again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good, really is good to get together. Not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but as a congregation of God's people to give our worship together to God. So we're thankful for your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning for you to follow along. And I know already what you're thinking. I'm not going to finish this morning. If that was your thought, you're probably dreaming. If I thought you would stay through 13 points, I'm dreaming. But we'll go through as far as we can in the time allotted. Very familiar situation. An illustration, you know, every spring, or many people do, put gardens in their yard. We're familiar with that, that preparation. We usually begin with some kind of planning, preparing, we get that planting area ready. We purchase items that we want to plant. A lot of things go in just to get ready for that garden. Cultivate the ground. We take out the rocks, maybe the hard chunks of dirt. We fertilize. And all of this is done to assure that we have a successful crop. Now, I want you to understand that point right there, that illustration. Look at all that you do and I do to ensure a successful crop, a planting. We eliminate anything that might cause crop failure. And then we plant. But once we plant, then we don't brush our hands off and walk away thinking everything's finished. We're done. No. Once we plant, then we still give a lot of attention to that garden. There's water. We tend to the crop. And we expect growth. And many times, after so many days or weeks, we'll go out and do some more things in the garden, and we will watch and see if there's growth. You understand that? I know. You understand that concept, that picture, that illustration. Well, the same effort, the same attention is needed in cultivating the Christian life. It began, our Christian life did, when we were, and I'll use that word planted since that's our illustration today. When we were planted in Christ at our baptism. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know, and I always like it when the verse starts out that way, there's something that he says, you'll chew on this. You'll stop and meditate. Think about it. Give it some consideration. Don't you know? That as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried. In one translation, uses the word planted. We were planted or buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that we have been planted, buried with Christ in baptism, you don't brush your hands this way and say, that's all there is. Now there's an expectation of growth. Just as you did not put that plant in the ground and walk away thinking it'll take care of itself. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, anytime you see that, not only don't you know, that word therefore, stop and think what it's there for. Therefore, why is it there? Here it is. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. That's kind of clearing the ground, isn't it? Let's lay aside. Let's get rid of the stuff that's going to hinder our growth. Let's throw out the chunks. Eliminate anything that'll slow us down. Lay aside. Then as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. If you planted a plant and it's not growing, you know something's wrong. We have been planted or buried with Christ in baptism, and Peter here is giving the admonition to grow. If we're not growing, something's wrong. We need some attention needs to be given to us. In 2 Peter 1 verse 18, or chapter 3 verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. Amen. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, whatsoever a man sows. No. Oh no. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There's reaping. Growth. Expectation. So after we plant, we care for the garden. We weed and feed. Protect it. We try to keep anything that would damage it away. And the same is spiritually. So in our lesson this morning, and obviously next week too, maybe even the next week, I don't know. But we're going to plant a lot of lettuce. Hebrew lettuce. That's going to be our spiritual diet. You can't have too much lettuce. Good for you. Especially this Hebrew lettuce. Number one, I'll read the whole verse. I didn't write the whole verse down for you. You can keep your Bibles open, the book of Hebrews. Follow along. Read the entire verse. Read the verse before and after it. But here's the entire verse. Verse chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore. Oh, another therefore. Don't forget. Let's see what it's there for. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest. Oh, there's a promised rest. So he said, therefore, a promised rest remains. And so, a promise remains of entering His rest. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We don't want to do that. See, all of this lettuce, he's saying, you need to eat this lettuce because there's a danger if you don't eat it. If this lettuce is not part of your spiritual diet, it's going to hinder our growth. We need to have some fear about missing heaven. And when we have that proper fear, do those things that will cause us to want to go there. In verse 9, I didn't put this in your notes, I don't think. In verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There is going to be a rest. Be afraid to miss heaven. In Revelation 14 verse 13, that was not your notes either. Revelation 14 verse 13, therefore I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest. Is a promised rest. It's not here. No, if you're resting here, something's wrong. No. There remains a promised rest for us. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. We even have a song in our book. It's in hymn number 634. It says, O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? Now some of you, you're already resting. How can you sigh? No, you got to work. I'm sighing for that land of rest. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by? Right now, we need to. You keep that armor on. You put that armor on to do all that fighting and battling against the struggles and the troubles of life. When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. And then the chorus is, we'll work. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. Ah, you see, the rest is not here. But the verse is, since there a promised rest remains, we want to enter that rest and we should be afraid to miss it. To come short of it. Another song, this one's not in our book, but it was in one of our previous songbooks. Heaven will surely be worth it all. It says, often I'm hindered on my way. Yeah. I'm burdened so heavy I almost fall. But then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. You don't rest here. You keep working. Second stanza, many the trials, toils and tears. Yeah, that's right. Many a heartache here may appall. Ah, but the dear Lord so truly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Last stanza, toiling and pain, I will endure. I'll endure. Till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all of its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. You work till Jesus comes. Don't fall short of that promised rest. Don't stop too soon. Number two. I may not get as far along as I thought I was going to. Number two, still in chapter 4, verse 11. Now let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience as those in the Old Testament who did not enter the promised land because they didn't believe that God would give them the promised land. So they said, we can't take it. So they wandered for 40 years. He's giving that, with that illustration in his mind, the Hebrew writer said, let's be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall. According to the same example of disobedience. So now the exhortation is be diligent to enter. If you're going to be diligent, here it is again, just like we'll work till Jesus comes. If you're going to be diligent, it means you're going to be attentive and persistent in your effort. Does that characterize you? Do you persevere? Are you constant? In service, in ministry, in attendance, in prayer, in Bible study, in reaching out, in benevolence, all these areas. Do you have tireless activity? Are you working at it? Are you grinding it out? Diligence. Are you toiling? Are you exerting? Are you going the second mile? Are you doing more than expected? I'm giving you the definition of diligent. It's in the verse. Says, lest be diligent. Let us therefore be diligent. That's more let us that we need to have. Let us be diligent to enter that rest. And then he gives the illustration, lest anyone fall through disobedience. That's the danger of not fearing, and that's the danger of not putting forth the effort. We may fall and be disobedient, and we're going to miss heaven. We're going to miss out on the rest. Third row of lettuce, number three. We're going to plant 13 before we're finished. Not today. But here's our third row of lettuce.
Verse 14, still in chapter 4. Seeing then, something to take a look at. Don't miss this, he's saying. Seeing, put your glasses, spiritual glasses on. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Since Jesus is the object of our confession, that was the confession we made before we were baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We made a confession. If we renounce that, we are renouncing Jesus. And we are letting go of our confession, and that seals our doom. So the Hebrew writer says, see then, in other words, look at Jesus. And when that we have Jesus in view, let's hold fast our confession. Because the Bible says in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See Jesus. Now, if you're going to hold fast, that's what it says, let us hold fast. I put in your notes, you know, definition. Now, I like definitions because not only do they tell us what the word means, but many times that definition gives us the application. Well, what do you mean hold fast, Brian? What do you think the Hebrew writer had in mind? He said, if you're going to hold fast something, you're going to get a grip. Now think about it. Hold something fast. You're going to squeeze. You're going to take hold and secure it. You're going to hold fast. You're going to hang on for dear life. You're not going to don't lose your grip through disobedience. You know what hold fast means. And if your life doesn't measure up to that visual, that illustration, something's wrong. You're not growing. Even though you may say, I've never given up my profession. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I've always believed that. James chapter 2 says, show me your faith by my works. Show me. If you did decide to let loose of your grip, I want to say to some people, what would you do differently than what you're doing now? What would you do differently if you're going to let go of your profession? I don't know. You could say it all day long. My hand's up in here. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Really? You can say that all you want to. What if that's all God did to us? I sure love you guys, but I'm not going to help you. Think God loves us? Just by mere shouting, giving us a shout out? No, God so, John 3:16, God so loved, He gave. He did something. Hey. Love is demonstrated. So you can declare your love for God all you want to, you can declare your faith all you want to, but can others see it? That's the lettuce that we need to have in our life. Eat that. Chew on that. I'm not trying to be nice this morning. No, it's not my purpose. The whole purpose of writing this letter to the Hebrews was to convince them and to encourage them and to uplift them not to go back to the old law. So you have at least 13 rows of lettuce in this book to convince these new, brand new Christians not to go back and not to mix or mingle, but to stay on God's side. To let others know whom you belong and whose side you stand. You think if I'm a new Christian, I'm reading this, Paul or the Hebrew writer sure doesn't want me to give up. That's right. I don't want you to give up. Alright, I'm going to stop there. Don't want to make you mad. We'll continue. if all this led us next week. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Maybe one here this morning thought of members of the New Testament church. There's a simple plan or a simple formula. There's some ingredients that are necessary for you to become to being baptized. Number one, you need to hear the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in Him whom you've not heard? You have to hear that God so loved the world He gave His Son. You need to hear that. A good news, gospel message. And then number two, you'll want to believe it. Jesus Himself said it. In John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. So I need to hear the good news and believe that message. Number three, you'll want to turn your life around. The Bible uses the word repentance. And I add, and we put this in our prerequisites because Jesus did. In John, in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then number four, you'll want to confess. Just as the Hebrew writer said, let's hold fast our confession. That you make your confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When Philip teaches the Ethiopian, preaches unto him Jesus, the Ethiopian interrupts his Jesus sermon and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then number five, Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When those four things are in place, those prerequisites, those ingredients, then you can be baptized. And from that point on, as we're going through our lesson, you begin to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of help available in that. So that's the invitation we extend. If you're subject to it, if you haven't been baptized already and obeyed that gospel good news message, just let your request be known by having a seat here beside me while we're singing this song. So let's stand together, sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation.